Parshas Vayelech. On the seventh day of Adar, the day of Moshe's passing, a heavenly voice came to him and said, Moshe, you have only one more day to live. Moshe then walked from his tent, which was in Machane Levia, to Machane Yisrael, in order to comfort the Yidden and to wish them all good before he passes away. Moshe's words of comfort were, I am already 120 years old. I am no longer permitted to teach you Torah. Yes, Hashem closed the wellsprings of Torah before Moshe. That means that although Moshe remembered all the Torah that he learned, but he was not able to teach it to the Yidden anymore. The wellsprings of Torah were shut up within him and could no longer come out to the Yidden. Moshe said to the Yidden, Hashem does not let me cross the Yarden, but do not be discouraged. Hashem's Shekhinah will pass in front of you, and Yahushua will be your leader. Hashem will destroy the nations of the land of Canaan, just as he destroyed the kingdoms of Sichon and Og. Even though I leave you now, because my days are limited, but Hashem will not forsake you as long as you serve him and stay close to him. Moshe then called Yahushua and honored him in front of all the Yidden. He dressed up Yahushua in the royal clothing. He seated him on his own chair and placed a crown on his head. This was all in order that the Yidden would accept Yahushua as their new leader. Moshe encouraged Yahushua, Chazak ve'ematz, be strong in Torah and mitzvahs. You will stay alive until the land is conquered and divided among the Shvatim. Hashem will be with you. Do not fear or tremble. Now on this day, Zion Adar, Moshe accomplished many, many things. First of all, he made the new bris between Hashem and the Yidden, as we have learned in Parshas Nitzavim. He also taught the Yidden the song of Ha'azinu that we're going to learn in Yirtzeh Hashem in the next Parsha. He also blessed all the Shvatim. And another very special thing that he did, Moshe wrote down the entire Torah from the very first word Bereishis until the very last words Le'enei Kol Yisrael. And Moshe wrote this down 13 times. That's right, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah all on one day. That is, on Zion Adar, the last day of his life on this world. Now, what did Moshe do with the 13 Sifrei Torah? Well, he gave one to each of the 12 Shvatim. And the 13th one, he placed into the Arayin, and that will be guarded by the Levim. If anyone ever tried, Chas v'Shalom, to change any words of the Torah, we're always able to go back to the original Sefer Torah that's in the Arayin to find out exactly how the words are supposed to be written. And now we come to the mitzvah of Hakel. Moshe explained to the Yidden a mitzvah that was to be fulfilled by the Yiddish king and the entire Jewish people once every 7 years. That is, after 7 years pass, and we know that the seventh year is the Shemitah year, so at the beginning of the eighth year, when the Yidden will be gathered in Yerushalayim for the Yom Tov of Sukkos, after the first day of Yom Tov, when Chol HaMoed begins, the Yidden are to all gather together to listen to the king read and explain the Torah. And everyone was supposed to be there, men, women, and children. This assembly was announced by trumpet blasts. Now in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a courtyard which was called Ezras Nashim, the courtyard of the women. It does not mean that that was the section where the women would be in the Beis HaMikdash. The women would usually stand on the balconies. But this was called Ezras Nashim because sometimes when it was necessary, a woman was allowed to go into this part of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, for the mitzvah of Hakel, they would build a high wooden platform in the Ezras Nashim where the king would sit. The king would receive a Sefer Torah while standing, and he says a special bracha over the Torah, and then he may sit down to read it. And while all the Yidden are gathered together, men, women, and children, the king would read from the beginning of Chumash Devarim certain psukim and certain parts, including the Parsha of Shema and the curses and blessings in Parshas Kisavai. After reading the Torah, the king makes another bracha. And then he says another seven brachas of special praises to Hashem. Even the greatest Talmidei Chachamim are supposed to pay attention and listen to every word that the king is reading with great awe. The king acts as a messenger from Hashem, and so each Yid must try to experience this reading as if it was coming from Hashem at Har Sinai. And the Torah tells us that the purpose of this mitzvah is to strengthen the Yidden in keeping the Torah and fearing Hashem. The Gemara tells us of a story. It was on Yom Tov that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika and Rabbi Elazar ben Chasma visited their teacher, Rabbi Yehoshua, who lived in the city Pekin. Why did they visit him on Yom Tov? It's because it's a mitzvah for a student to visit his Rebbe on Yom Tov. When they came to the Rebbe asked them, "What new Torah thoughts did you hear in the Beis HaMedrash today?" "Rebbe, we are your students. It's not right that we should speak in front of you." "Tell me nevertheless, that every time you come into the Beis HaMedrash, I'm sure that some new points come up. Who said the Dvar Torah today?"
"Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah."
"And what did he talk about?"
"He spoke about the mitzvah of Hakel, to gather all the Yidden together."
"And what did he teach you?"
"Well, he spoke about the pasuk, Hakel es ha'am ha'anoshim ve'hanoshim ve'hataf, to gather all the people together, men, women, and children. And he explained to us, it is understood why the men are told to come in order to study Torah. The women come in order to listen to the reading. But why are the parents supposed to bring their children, even little tiny babies? They're not even able to learn or listen yet." Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah explained us that the Torah commanded that the children be brought so that Hashem would reward those who brought them. When Rabbi Yehoshua heard this Dvar Torah from them, he said, "Wow! What a precious explanation, and you almost wanted to hold it back from me." Our Chachamim explain that from this mitzvah we can see how much Hashem loves us. The parents would anyhow have to bring their children with them. They can't leave them somewhere home while they go traveling to Yerushalayim for Yom Tov. They anyway had to take these children with them to the Beis HaMikdash. Yet Hashem made this into a mitzvah, that they should be able to bring these children l'shem shamayim, for Hashem's sake, and get more reward. Now, what kind of reward are they going to get? Well, we know that chinuch, educating children, does not only begin when they're able to speak and able to learn Torah, but long before that. When a little child, even a little tiny baby, was just born, isn't such a special place like the Beis HaMikdash, where all the Yidden are gathered and listens to the words of the king, this will have an everlasting effect on the child. And this is, in fact, the greatest reward for the parents. Yes, these children will become trained to fear Hashem and do the mitzvahs. And so they will go in the ways of the Torah, and that is indeed the greatest reward for parents. Our Chachamim add that from the mitzvah of Hakel we learn how important it is to bring Yiddish children to shul in order to be in such a holy place where they can hear words of tefillah, words of Torah. They can answer Amen. They can answer Baruch Hu, Kedusha, and many other good things, especially when the Sefer Torah comes out, and they can get a chance to kiss the Sefer Torah. This will leave an everlasting impression on these children. It is, of course, important to make sure that these children behave nicely in the shul, knowing that a shul is just like a Beis HaMikdash. That's right. Hashem says that while the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, his place is temporarily in every shul and every Beis HaMedrash. Now the Torah tells us, Hashem spoke to Moshe and said, Hein karvu yomecha lamus. Behold, your days approach that you must pass away. Actually, it was on Rosh Chodesh Adar that Moshe found out that he is very soon going to pass away. It was at that moment that Moshe began begging Hashem to let him live longer. And Hashem also wanted Moshe to live longer than 120 years. As it says in Tehillim, Yakar be'enei Hashem ha'mavsal lachasidav, that it is, so to speak, difficult in the eyes of Hashem, the death of his pious ones. And that's why Hashem did not tell Moshe directly, you must die. He said, your days are approaching to die, which means that your days die, but not you, because a tzaddik is always alive. A tzaddik never dies. A tzaddik lives forever. When Moshe heard these words, Hein karvu yomecha lamos, that he's going to pass away, he called out and said, Hashem, are you announcing my death to me with the same word that I used to praise you? I said, Hein la Hashem aleikecha hashamayim ushmei hashamayim. Behold, to Hashem belong the heaven and the heaven of heavens. I used the word Hein to praise you, Hashem, and now you're using that word Hein to tell me that I'm going to pass away? Our Medrash gives us a parable for this, that there was once a person who gave a very beautiful sword to a king. The king then took this sword and said, chop this man's head off with this sword. The man was surprised that the beautiful sword that he gave to the king is going to be used to chop his head off. The same thing Moshe was surprised that the word Hein, which was used to praise Hashem, is now going to be used to tell Moshe that he must pass away. Hashem answered Moshe, but didn't you also use the word Hein when I wanted to send you to Mitzrayim to save the Yidden? And you said, V'hein lo yaminu li? Behold, they will not believe me? But why should I have to pass away? Moshe asked. In the Torah it says that kares, a punishment of death, is given only to a yid who does one of the 36 sins that deserves kares. Did I commit any of those 36 sins? But I decreed death upon the first man, Adam, Hashem answered him. But Adam deserved to die because he went against your commandment, but not I.
You are still included in Adam's punishment. The neshamas of all the generations are part of the neshama of Adam, and therefore, when the death punishment was passed on him, all people were included. Remember that even a tzaddik like Avraham, who made a Kiddush Hashem for me in this world, he also had to pass away.
But Avraham had a son Yishmael, whose children anger you. So maybe that's why he had to pass away.
Also Yitzchak, who stretched out his neck by the Akedah on the Mizbeach, willing to be slaughtered, he also passed away.
But Yitzchak had the hateful Esav.
But even Yaakov died. Yaakov, who had 12 sons who are all tzaddikim.
Yes, but still, Hashem, I think I reached a higher level than him. Did Yaakov tread the clouds and resemble the malachim? Did he speak to you face to face? Did he receive the Torah as I did? Yaakov passed away because his body was not yet perfect. But I don't need death to bring my body to be perfect. At this point, Hashem told Moshe to stop talking about this subject. Hashem said, "This is my decree." But Ribbono Shel Olam, please arise from your throne of judgment and sit on your throne of mercy. Let my sins be forgiven through the suffering which you will bring upon me. But don't let me fall into the hands of the Malach HaMaves, the angel of death. If only you will accept my prayers, I will praise you forever before all people. As it says in Tehillim, Loi amos ki echye, I shall not die but live, va'asaper ma'ase yudkei, and tell the deeds of Hashem.
It cannot be, answered Hashem. Death has been decreed since the olden times, even on the tzaddikim. When Moshe realized that his prayers were not accepted, he begged the Malach who is appointed over heaven and earth,
please beg for mercy for my sake.
The Malach answered, before I beg for you, I must beg that heaven and earth should not be destroyed. For so it is prophesied about the future, V'nagoyu kasefer shamoyim, that the heavens shall be rolled together like a scroll. Moshe then spoke to the Malach in charge of the mountains and hills and begged him,
please seek mercy for me.
Before begging for you, answered the Malach, let me beg for myself. For it says about the future, Ki haharim yamushu v'hagvois tmutena, the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed. Moshe then turned to the Malach of the sea, begging it that it should pray to Hashem for Moshe.
Ben Amram, said the Malach of the sea, why do you ask for me to help you? Wasn't it you who with his rod ordered me to split into 12 parts?
I obeyed because I could not go against the force of the Shekhinah that accompanied you. When Moshe was reminded of what he did so many years ago, Moshe cried out,
oh, if it only was still the past. When I crossed the Red Sea, I was a king. And now I'm begging with so many prayers, and it's not accepted.
Finally, Moshe went to the great Malach Matat and begged him, seek mercy for me that I should not die. Moshe, answered the Malach, why do you try so hard? I have heard behind the heavenly curtain that your prayers are not accepted in this matter. Moshe put his hands to his face. He cried out, whom else can I ask for mercy?
Moshe, Hashem asked him, why are you so upset?
I'm afraid of the Malach HaMaves. Hashem comforted him.
I will not allow the Malach HaMavis to take your neshama away. Your end is not like the end of other people. You are as strong today as you were when you were young. You don't even have to prepare shrouds or a coffin, because they will be provided by heaven. You will not be buried by your family and friends, but by me and my heavenly hosts. But I'm so worried about the pain of my mother, Yocheved. Two of her children, Aaron and Miriam, were already taken from her. Shall she now lose me as well?
It was so decreed, answered Hashem. Until now you have served as the leader. Now your turn is over, and Yeshua's turn has arrived.
Ribono shel Olam, if I must go to make room for the new leader, let me live as Yeshua's student.
Well, try it if you wish.
Moshe immediately went to Yeshua's tent. When Yeshua saw him, he was afraid. Has my Rebbe Moshe come to me? He wondered.
They walked together toward the Ohel Moed. Moshe walked at Yeshua's left side, where the student usually stands, and they both entered the Ohel Moed. The cloud of glory came down and made a partition between Yeshua and Moshe. After the cloud rose, Moshe asked Yeshua, "What did Hashem tell you?" Yeshua answered, "When Hashem revealed himself to you, Moshe, was I informed of what Hashem's message is?" "The cloud divided us, Moshe, because Hashem's words were directed to me alone, and I'm not allowed to tell them to you." This caused Moshe such a terrible pain that he cried out and said, "Better 100 deaths than this pain." Later, when the people came to Moshe, asking him to teach them Torah, Moshe said, "I cannot. I have no permission." But the people kept on insisting that he should teach them Torah, until a heavenly voice called out and said to them, "Learn from Yeshua." Yeshua took a seat at the head, Moshe to his right, and Aaron's sons to his left. When Yeshua got up to teach Torah to the Yidden, he trembled so greatly at the thought of speaking in front of Moshe Rabbeinu that he had to be supported. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was not even able to understand what Yeshua was teaching. When Yeshua finished, the people came to Moshe and complained, "His Torah is not as clear as yours used to be." But Moshe was not able to teach them, and for this he felt such a pain that he said to Hashem, "Ribono shel Olam, until now I asked you for life, but now that I can't teach Torah to the Yidden, I beg you, take my neshama back." Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to have an extra long life just in order to live on this world. His whole purpose was in order to teach Torah to the Yidden. And since he saw that he's not able to teach any more Torah to the Yidden, because that is Hashem's decree, that's why he asked Hashem to take back his neshama. When Hashem saw that Moshe finally agreed to return his neshama back to Hashem, he said, "I swear that just as you led my sons in this world, so will you again lead the Yidden in the future, after Tchias HaMesim." Hashem now told Moshe about things that are going to happen to the Yidden in the future. While your body will rest with your fathers, your neshama will be stored away under my Kisei HaKavod with your fathers. After you pass away, the Rishayim among the Yidden will ignore my bris and will serve idols. Hashem then told Moshe what's going to take place during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, when there are going to be some wicked kings who are going to talk many Yidden into worshipping idols. My anger will be kindled on that day, and I will hide my face from them and leave them to suffer. At the same time, Hashem spoke as a father who loves his son. When he cannot take the pain of his son's suffering, the father hides his face so as not to see it. The Yidden will then admit, says Hashem, that it is because the Shekhinah left from us because of our sins that all these bad things happened to us. And yet, this thought of Teshuvah of the Yidden will not be enough yet to cause me to redeem them from Gullus. I will hide my face even further, as though I did not notice their suffering, and wait until they really do Teshuvah before freeing them from their hardships. They will experience the destructions of both Batei Mikdash and go into Gullus. Hashem continued, Now, Moshe, write down the song of Ha'azinu. You and your Yeshua shall explain it to the Yidden and teach them to recite it. In the song of Ha'azinu, it tells the Yidden that their punishment comes only because they don't obey me. When they later suffer in Gullus, let them not think that it happened just by coincidence, but they should realize that I judged them truthfully. And if they return to me and cry out, I shall answer them. They will then realize that I was always with them in their suffering. Yes, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem also cried in heaven, as it says in Tehillim, Imai Anochi Vitzara, I am with him in his suffering, because Hashem, so to speak, suffers with us in Gullus. Hashem promised, the song of Ha'azinu and the entire Torah will never be forgotten by the Yidden throughout the ages of history. When the Yidden sin Chas V'Shalom in the future, they will read the song of Ha'azinu and realize that they were warned that they should follow the Torah. I kept my part of the bris while they didn't. Moshe obeyed Hashem's commandment. He wrote down the song of Ha'azinu, adding it to the rest of the Torah. He then gathered together the elders and the people and explained it to them. And now we're going to learn about a very special mitzvah, that every Yid should write his own Sefer Torah. It's better if he writes it himself, but if he cannot, he can hire a Sefer to write it for him. Or you can buy a shir in a communal Sefer Torah. In these days, when you buy Sfarim of Torah, we are also fulfilling this mitzvah to a certain measure. Because the most important thing is that a Yid should always have at hand a Sefer from which he can study Torah. Now that we finished Parshas Vayelech, with Hashem's help, we're going to begin Parshas Ha'azinu, the very special song that Moshe taught the Yidden.